What's up, everybody? The Chumps are back. I'm Danny Lutz, here as always with Matt Frederick and Scott Trosky. How goes it for you boys?
Going pretty good, Danny. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. What's up, Scott?
Not much. I'm good. You seem a little out of breath, Danny. You right there?
Yeah, I just went pee, and I had to run back here and start the show.
So, fair enough.
I don't have much lung capacity, but we got a great show for you guys today. NFC East breakdown, everything you need to know about the Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins. You can find our rankings and articles, by the way, on chumpsandchampspodcast.com. And speaking of the website, Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit about that article that you just dropped earlier this week?
Oh, yeah. Just dropped a overvalued, undervalued players article, breakdown, a couple players at each position. So far, people aren't very happy that I think Kenyon Drake is overvalued. So why don't you take a peek and see if you agree or don't.
I can let that slide. I think the DJ Moore stuff, I think, is a fight for the future, but
he's got chump written all over him this
year. Oh my God. We're not starting this again. We're not doing this again. Not a ton of NFL news this week, but there is big sports news, which is a big deal all across the board. Baseball is coming back at the end of July. Are you guys excited about that?
Oh yeah. See, I'm excited for the shorter season because typically I think the games just don't mean enough. And with only, is it 60 game season? Every game is going to be a big deal this year.
Yeah, I'm super pumped about hockey getting back in and baseball. I don't know about you guys, but I found myself more and more, you know, when you watch a YouTube video, which then leads to another YouTube video, and then before you know, you spent 2.5 hours watching YouTube videos because you just get sucked into it. That's been happening so often without sports for me, and I hate it. I need it. I need sports back so bad.
Yeah, and I'm watching sports. I'm watching games that I know the outcome of, and it's just not the same. So, yeah, I agree with you. And with the baseball thing, I've been telling people for years that 162 games is way too long, and everyone gets on me about it, and they're like, that's stupid, and blah, blah, blah. And now here we are with a 60-game season. Money where my mouth is. If I better love it or else I'm completely wrong.
I think this is going to be the most enthralled I am while actually watching baseball games this year.
I wonder what it's going to do to, like, the record book and stuff with – season averages, like, is there it's just going to be crazy, though.
Like, is there going to be like a 400 hitter or something? Like,
right,
people go through these big streaks sometimes.
Exactly. You start hot, and yeah, you could easily hit 460 games. Well, I don't say awesome. Easily. That makes it sound like it's super easy, but you know what I mean.
Well, you could. You could do it, but you chose to turn your attention to this podcast instead of making it in the major leagues. Yeah, well, speaking of baseball, be sure to head over to the Upper Decker podcast after you're done listening to us to get all of your baseball knowledge. You need it now more than ever now that it's officially back. But Anthony, Brett, and Ty do an awesome job over there, so I highly recommend it. But we're here to talk about football. And before we get to the NFC East, let's play a game. Do you guys want to play a game right out of the gate? Say yes, because it's going to happen. So
you say like we have a choice.
Yeah, I was looking at food on the internet, and
as we all do from day to day.
So here's your question: you're at draft day. You're at your actual drafts. Keep, trade, cut is what we're playing. Okay, keep, trade, and cut at draft day. Pizza, wings, and sliders. Pizza, wings, sliders. You have to keep one, trade one, cut one. What would you guys do in the moment? What's your gut instinct?
Definitely keeping wings. That's top on the board in my book. I think I'm going to trade the sliders and cut the pizza.
That's exactly what my thought was. Scott?
Well, that's because you two are morons.
Oh, boy.
I would keep pizza.
You are out of your element.
No,
okay.
I'll sum it up at the end. Keep pizza, I guess. Trade wings, and I'd cut sliders. I love wings. I'd say probably more than pizza, but I can eat pizza so often in different ways that I don't get sick of it. So
what about chicken pizza?
The versatility. Oh, now you're just blurring the lines.
Oh here. My word! Yeah. Or when I used to take wing dip and I put it on top of a slider. And it's just the best day. Yeah, I think
pizza between your two hands and just shove it in your face.
I think sliders. Yeah, I'm keeping wings for sure. I'm trading sliders and I'm cutting pizza. You can get, I mean, pizza. It's great, but I think sliders have more trade value when you break it down. Like, I think I can get more out of sliders. You don't see them that as often as you do pizza, but I think that me and Matt are onto something. Okay, here's a different one then. Okay, mozzarella sticks, potato skins, and meatballs. Like those little meatballs that you like, you poke them with a tooth. What are those called? You poke them with a toothpick. They're called
meatballs. You're right.
It's just meatballs. That's it. In like a crock pot with all the barbecue sauce and the. Yeah, so
those are meatballs.
All right, so mozzarella sticks, potato skins, and meatballs. Go.
I think I keep the potato skins. That's the only one that really excites me there. I'll trade the meatballs because some people really, I think they're called the Swedish meatballs, right?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, they're just called meatballs.
Some people love those things. I can take them or leave them. But I'm definitely cutting the mozzarella sticks. There's just not enough going on there.
Oh, I love me some mozzarella sticks, man. I'm going to keep the mozzarella, probably trade the wedges, and then, yeah, I'm going to cut the meatballs.
That's crazy. I'm keeping the meatballs, and I'm trading potato skins for the same reason that I was trading sliders earlier, is because I think they have more trade value. And then I'll cut the mozzarella sticks. They're mozzarella sticks. So,
all right, Danny, I got one for you.
Okay.
Keep, trade, cut. Salsa, guacamole, and French onion dip.
So for the listeners out there, Matt knows I'm not a fan of any of these things. So I have to eat these? Okay. I'm going to keep French onion dip because I think I can handle that.
Oh, my God. How can you not like all these? Are you a child? Good Lord.
Yes, you know that. I'm going to trade guacamole. People go crazy for guacamole. So,
and
again,
it's pricey, you know. You can get a lot for that.
Yeah. So that's good trade value. And what was the other one? Oh, I can't handle salsa. I really can't. Just emotionally, yeah. I think I'm the only one though.
My problem here is that I would want to keep all three of these things. And I would want separate kinds of chips to dip in each one of them, but I'd want them all at the same time.
Yeah, there's just so much that bothers me about the things you choose to be, Danny. That salsa is the best. I mean,
so speaking of gross foods that everybody loves, are you guys Bloody Mary fans?
Yes.
Didn't used to be, but now I am. Yes.
I was talking to somebody.
I like spicy. I like the spicy ones.
I was talking to somebody about this, about Bloody Marys. I really think that I would rather one of you boys punch me in the face than have a Bloody Mary. I think that's where I am with that. And I think it's just because you're drinking cold tomato juice and they put like food in it, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, we can talk all day about food. That could be its own podcast.
Maybe we should start a separate podcast.
I'm fine with that. Let's get into the NFC East though. What do you guys think? Let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles finished first in the NFC East, 9-7. That's not that good. And they're the fourth seed in the NFC playoffs. They lost to Seattle in the first round. Key additions, Jalen Reagor, they got in the draft. They actually got Darius Slay, a corner who used to be for the Lions, really, really good. Now he's on the Eagles. Key departures, they really didn't lose anyone. Maybe Nelson Aguilar. Remember that guy? He would win you a week if you happened to play him. But
they did lose. Jason Peters, one of their offensive tackles, to free agency this year.
Where is he now?
He's still looking for a team, but I think he's cut all ties with the Eagles.
That's big. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and not to mention the big Brandon Brooks news with him going out with the Achilles injury.
Yeah, Brandon Brooks tears his Achilles, one of the best O-linemen in the league. That changes things for everyone. Changes things for the quarterback, Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is ADP quarterback 11 right now, going off the board 11th. Last year, he had no weapons at all, did he? And he still finished at quarterback 11 on the year. 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns. And he ran a bunch too, 243 yards there. So, I mean, everything points to Carson Wentz is going to be good, right? But then you look at his weapons, and I don't know if I can buy into it.
I'd argue that he has one of the more impressive tight end duos with Ertz and Goddard. But yeah, his wide receivers are just a bunch of old guys, Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson.
Right.
Why are you still playing?
I always look at him and I'm like, he's got a high floor. Like, it seems like Wentz is always pretty consistent, but for whatever reason, I'm just never personally super excited about him. Like, if I were to have him as my number one quarterback, I just wouldn't be real thrilled about it. And there's no like strong numbers to back that up. Cause like you said, he finished decent and everything like that. For whatever reason, I'm just not a huge fan of him fantasy-wise.
Yeah, I'd say I was comparing all the quarterbacks in this division earlier, and we'll get to Dak, but one thing I thought was interesting was Wentz had the exact same number of completions as Dak, so he's getting about the same amount of volume. He's putting yards up there. He has, I think, like the fifth or so most passing touchdowns last year, so stat-wise, he's still looking pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, my thought is if he can get the help, and you're right, Matt, about the tight ends being great, and there's a lot of hype with Jalen Reagor, and they started to include the running backs in the passing game towards the end of the year last year, so maybe he can get back to that 2017 almost MVP form. I think he finished third because he tore his ACL or whatever, but he was on pace to just – I mean, he was running away with the MVP race until then.
They just drafted, what, three receivers this year? So you got to feel like there's a bit of a changing of the guard from veterans to younger guys in the receiving core.
There has to be, especially since we're going to get to Alshon Jeffrey coming up here, but he's just you look at their wide receivers like injury. Oh, God, who is he going to – but then again, you know what? Last year is the same situation, and he was the quarterback 10 on the year. So I – you know what? Fine. I'm in on it, but – he's still, for me, going to go out for the people like Breeze and Ryan and Allen and stuff like that.
Yeah. Alshon, we're like, Al Gown. He's too old. He's too old.
And he's always got a looming foot injury or something just waiting to strike.
Yeah. Running backs, Miles Sanders and Boston Scott are, they're not really tag teaming. It's really Miles Sanders is the main guy. But his ADP is running back 12 right now, and that seems to be fluctuating up and down. Last year, he finished the RB15 despite really being the starter for most of the season. Towards the end of the year, they really turned the reins over once they booted Jordan Howard, and he did really well. I mean, he had 6 touchdowns altogether, almost 1,000 yards rushing. I mean, how early are you taking Miles Sanders, and are you star highlighting him on your draft board?
Well, Danny, I can answer that with saying that he was my featured undervalued running back in my article I just posted. I really like him this year. I think, yeah, he took over the starting role once Jordan Howard was out after week 11. Jordan Howard shipped off now, and everybody's so worried about this running back committee in Philly, but Sanders handled 78% of the snaps after Howard was out. So he really took that complete back role, and he, like you said, he excelled. I could easily see him hitting over 1,000 yards this year. And he can catch the ball. I think 70-plus receptions if he stays healthy.
I definitely like him if they go with him as their, you know, kind of three-down back, like we just mentioned. They're historically a committee-type style of running, but Howard's gone, and I don't see Boston Scott being something other than a change-in-pace type of a guy. And I really like Sanders if he's, you know, RB2, if he's the main guy. If you can get him as an RB3 somehow, then great. I was reading that there's a chance they were trying to bring in a veteran running back. I read Devontae Freeman or even old LeSean McCoy coming back.
Don't do to this Philly. To me.
I don't know don't if that's do a legitimate me. Thing, but.
Oh, man.
But, like, yeah.
Isn't there always one team each year that, like, you love that running back and all of a sudden they sign some veteran free agent right before the season starts and kills your draft strategy?
Damian Williams, last year. I took him in the third round of one of my leagues. And I was thrilled about him. And then however long afterwards, LeSean McCoy walks in. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yep,
that's exactly what he did.
I got saddled with that baggage. But. In a couple leagues. But Scott, like you mentioned, it would be great to get Sanders in the third, but I think he's already on everybody's radar. He's that sexy sleeper right now. So he's just going to keep getting more and more popular. Right now he's ADP like 20. So I think he's going to have to get snatched up in the second round. And I think that's priced appropriately.
Do you think you would take Miles Sanders or Kenyon Drake, Matt, Mr. I hate Drake.
I like Miles Sanders, talent and, what he's done with his opportunities a lot more than Kenyon Drake, I'm going to stick with Miles Sanders.
So, yeah, I think the big thing, you guys both touched on it, is are they going to sign somebody before the regular season? Because it, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, yeah, I think we're all very, very high on Miles Sanders. But if they sign someone like LeSean McCoy or whoever the hell they're going to – Devontae Freeman, is that what you said, Scott?
Yeah.
They're looking at, yeah. So if they sign one of them, then I don't know, I'd bump him down. But for now, he's the guy, and I'll take him. And Boston Scott, yeah, maybe a handcuff. I think he's got some PPR value because they're trying to make him like Darren Sproles was. But I never wanted to start Darren Sproles, so why would I want to start Boston Scott?
That was if you were plagued with injuries at running back and you had to pick somebody up off the waiver wire to start that week, you'd throw Sproles in the mix.
So wide receivers, you've got a hodgepodge of people that we kind of touched on when we talked about Wentz at the beginning here, but you got Alshon Jeffrey, you got DeSean Jackson, and you got the new guy, the rookie Jalen Reagor there. I mean, they're all ADPs in the 50s or worse. Any of these guys making you, even late in the draft, are you throwing a dart on any of these guys, and which one?
I do still like the combination of Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson because one brings the big body receiver aspect and one brings the wheels, but they're just so old. And I don't know enough about Jalen Reagor yet. Maybe a dart throw late, but I'm not going to spend a high draft pick on him.
I don't know what you base it off of. I mean, nobody played a huge amount last year to where it's just like, I feel confident in this guy. I mean, Jeffrey played 10 games, Aguilar played 11, Jackson played 3. So it's like the body of work is not huge. So there's just, I have no confidence in any of them. And since they were so injury riddled, their top receivers last year was obviously Ertz was number 1, Goddard was 2, and then Sanders was 3. So their top 3 receivers weren't receivers.
Right, and but if you extrapolate DeSean Jackson's week 1 across a 16-game season,
oh my,
he would have finished. He would have finished with 32 touchdowns on the year. I feel like that's pretty good. No, yeah. He's. I mean, DeSean Jackson's only 33. Can you believe that? He's 33. Alshon Jeffrey's only 30, but Alshon Jeffrey might start the season on the PUP and be out for the first 6 games. They're looking like that's going to be the case. So I don't think he's draftable right now.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. The only times I've ever gotten Jeffrey in fantasy, he's been injured in and out all season. I stay far away from him because of that now.
If you draft any of them, the only thing I have to say is what I wrote in my notes. I just put good luck. Play them on the weeks that if they happen to hit, then kudos to you because I sure as hell don't have the confidence to do that with them.
I'm looking at Jalen Reagor at the end of drafts. I am. You can look at my bold predictions to learn more about how I feel about Jalen Reagor, but I think he's the only one that I'll be drafting just because of that reason. But let's get into exciting people on the Eagles. The main excitement on the Eagles are the tight ends. Zach Ertz. His ADP is tight end 4. That's where he finished last year. 88 catches, almost 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns. So my question to you guys is Zach Ertz going to be able to repeat that if all of his wide receivers somehow, some way stay healthy?
Short answer, no.
You heard it here.
I don't – if everybody's out there, I mean, he still is one of the best tight ends. So for the position, he's still one of your best options. I'm not going to argue against that. But the consistency from game to game, I was looking at actually went down. The last couple years, he had tight end 1 type numbers in 78% of his games in 2017, 69% of his games in 2018, and only 53% of his games last year. So he's turned into a little more of a boom and bust type of a tight end, whereas in my mind, he's always been that consistent tight end. And then I looked at the numbers and realized maybe that wasn't quite the case last year, and I just didn't really realize it because I didn't have him on any of my teams.
Yeah, kind of like what you said, Scott. I saw he dominated the snap counts compared to Goddard in the first half of the season. But kind of turning point around week 9, all of a sudden their snap counts kind of evened out a bit and they're keeping Goddard on the field just as often as Ertz. And I mean, Ertz still got a lot more targets over the year. We're talking like 130 versus 80 something, but I think it's going to even out a lot more this year. They found out what they have in Goddard, and I don't like the committee type approach here with a fantasy aspect.
Did you see, speaking of Dallas Goedert, did you see him get punched in the face the other day?
Yeah.
I read about that.
It was vicious. I mean, it's like surveillance footage, but he knocked out like a light, like right away.
Yeah, he was out cold when he hit the ground.
Oh, yeah. And it was a total cheap shot. I mean, like Grand Slam days back in the day, Matt, you sure remember those days.
Yeah, let's not talk about it.
That's it for the Eagles, though. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty good if they can stay healthy, but that's just the $1 million question, I think, across the board.
Have you ever heard of handcuffing a tight end, though? Like, do you think that Goddard was in there because of all the injuries last year and he's not going to mean as much, but if Ertz, everything happens to him, then he's a gem?
I will not be one that tight end's a handcuff. Handcuffs a tight end. But I mean, at what point do you take Goddard? Where does he go? His average draft position is the 16th tight end off the board. So people aren't really drafting him as a starter, but I mean, he's a red zone threat. And like Matt said, he's getting targets. So I don't know. I think if Jeffrey is out, which he will be, and when Jackson goes down, I think that he's usable, maybe as a streamer.
It's the second half of week one.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's just going to be a lot of other tight ends on the board still that are actually tight end ones on their team that I'm going to find a lot more attractive than Dallas Goedert. Like, Hockenson should be there. Johnny Smith should be there. All guys that I'd rather risk. I'm only going to draft one tight end. I'm not going to double up on tight ends in my drafts. So I'm not going to draft a second string tight end no matter what.
Dallas Cowboys finished second in the NFC East. They were 8-8 again, but Jason Garrett's gone, so maybe they won't be 8-8 this time. Key additions: they added CeeDee Lamb in the draft, and they lost Randall Cobb and Jason Witten, but not to retirement like you might think. He's just in Las Vegas now. Dak Prescott is the quarterback. His ADP is quarterback 3 off the board behind the main two. Last year, he finished as quarterback 2. He almost hit a 5,000 yards passing. He hit 30 touchdowns, and he can run. So, where do you take Dak Prescott? Like, what round are you thinking, oh my goodness, Dak Prescott's still on the board, let's star him?
I'll say that I think he is priced appropriate at, what, quarterback 3 right now. I think he's going to be a stud. He has the chance to be quarterback 1 this year in fantasy, in my opinion. He has a great receiving core with Amari Cooper and Gallup and, like you said, CeeDee Lamb getting added. Like, the second best pass protection of the line. And he's talented. And he had a great year last year. What's not to like here?
You read my bold predictions, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you did. Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, just to kind of mirror that, I mean, there's just so many weapons now. I mean, they had Gallup kind of rise up last year, and now you just added one of the most, you know, talked about wide receivers from college coming in. So they could have 3 studs as a receiving core, and obviously we all know who their running back is, and he's a workhorse. So that team's offense is super exciting, and having Prescott last year and not being as highly kind of touted before the season, it ended up working out really well for me. And he was actually super consistent too. Like, when I looked at it, he only had 2 games where he didn't exceed or come within 1 point of his prediction for that week's total. So he was always putting up points, whether maybe it wasn't the giant 30-point weeks that you always hope for, but he was always hitting his projections.
Yeah, I think he was a QB2 last year in fantasy. Obviously, just behind Lamar Jackson.
Would you take any other quarterback other than Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes? Is there any other quarterback that you would prefer higher than Dak Prescott?
The more I look, I don't think so. I'd be hard pressed to find it. I mean, you could make an argument maybe for some other guys, you know, but I would go with Prescott.
Yeah, I'll say that I'm not going to draft a quarterback that early, but if I was going to, it would be Dak in that spot.
What if it's the 6th round and Prescott is right there and you love your team? You still wouldn't pull the trigger on him?
6th round? 8th round?
7th round.
Yeah, I'll pull the trigger on Dak in the 7th round.
Ezekiel Elliott is the running back. He is ADP running back 3 off the board. He was the running back 3 in 2019. Had just over 300 rushes, 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns. He's just amazing, and he's constantly amazing every year, year after year. He's super consistent. He's got such a safe floor, and he's really, really talented. Like, there's not much to say about Ezekiel Elliott, is there?
You can't go wrong, no matter where you draft him. I mean, quite frankly, you would have a completely sound argument taking him first overall. I know right. McCaffrey had a monumental season last year, but like you said, the consistency of Elliott, I mean, what I was looking up, he's had RB2 or better numbers in 93% of his games in his career. Not just last year, in his career. So even his bad weeks are still RB1 or 2 type numbers. So he never really just vanishes on you on a regular basis. He might have one bad week here and there, but he's super consistent.
Yeah, Elliott's my number one running back above McCaffrey. I think he wasn't quite as flashy and didn't catch as many balls last year, but I think his talent is better at the running back position, and I would probably draft him before McCaffrey. I like their team this year. I don't like Carolina.
Yeah, like that, I had to look for negatives to talk about Ezekiel Elliott, and that's the only one I could find is maybe there's less targets because was starting to trend down. But, I mean, still, last year he caught 54 passes. I think that was 9th out of running backs. That's still just outstanding. So, yeah, if you took him number one, I would be like, that sounds completely fine.
Yeah, I think in half PPR, if my running back's catching over 50 balls on the year, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, I feel like you're splitting hairs at a certain point if you're within like 10 of that. But the wide receivers that are in Dallas now, Amari Cooper is the big one. His average draft position is wide receiver 11. There's Michael Gallup, 31 off the board, and CeeDee Lamb is 44th. So all three of these guys are coming off the board before any of the Eagles receivers, just by the way. But is anyone standing out? I mean, Amari Cooper's going around the 3rd round in most drafts. Gallup's around the 7th-ish. And CeeDee Lamb is anywhere between 10 and towards the end. So what is the best value out of those three?
I don't know. This is like the same situation as Philly, but completely different reasons. Where Philly, I don't have faith in any of them. Where Dallas, I could see all three of them having phenomenal years. And it's... I had him last year, and looking at his numbers, I'm like, how did he put those up? Because I don't remember him being that consistent. And when I looked it up, he only had wide receiver 2 or better numbers in 11 of his 25 games in Dallas since he's been there, which if you're drafting him as your number one receiver, you want some more consistent numbers than that if that's your top guy. So I feel like Amari might be a little overvalued, to be honest. But at the same time, I think the CeeDee Lamb move just really cuts the ceiling down for Gallup.
Yeah, I don't really like Amari at his price tag. He had a decent year last year, but remember back in Oakland, he has played with the drops and inconsistencies and just didn't really perform. Gallup is going at a great spot. I think he's wide receiver 30, and I think he has just as much talent. He also had over 1,000 yards last year, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was a wide receiver 22 on the year, and he had 1,100 yards.
Yeah, the addition of CeeDee Lamb will definitely spread out targets a little bit more, so that could be a concern. But I don't think any of these guys are a lot bigger body than the next one. They're all similar size receivers, so I don't see one dominating touches in the red zone. I like what Gallup did last year. He'll probably be the Dallas wide receiver all target this year.
Yeah. I think that Michael Gallup at the 7th round value, I think that's the best one out of the three you'd have to pick. But Amari Cooper, like last year, he had those weeks where he just went insane. He had a week that it was 226 yards. He got, what the hell is that? That's out of, then the next week, one catch for 3 yards, one yeah. for three. Week 10, 11 catches, 147 yards and touchdown. Week 12, he goosed you. And then week 15, one catch for 19. Like, I think that he was out there injured and more of a decoy, but that's not what I want on my fantasy team. Like, year after year, Matt, you touched on it. Even when he was in Oakland, it was inconsistencies constantly. And I just don't, I mean, he will win you half of the weeks and he will do absolutely nothing. So I'm not planning on going 7-7 in fantasy.
Like, that's the problem in fantasy. Unless you're in a total points league, you're going to have that week where you score 200 plus points and dominate your opponent, but it doesn't mean anything more than a W. But the next week, whenever Amari Cooper gets you 3 yards and you lose by half a point, you're going to be a little pissed off, right? So the consistency is what we're looking for here.
Best ball is where I'll take Amari Cooper really high, because that's where his value is. I mean, when he gooses, it doesn't mean anything. And when he goes off, it means everything. So that's where I want it.
Yeah. Yeah, is Amari still going to be the number one guy through Prescott's progressions if he's got a 3-wide-out play? I mean, I don't know how it's even going to fall. Like, Amari was always the guy, but now it's just like maybe he's not.
I mean, he's talented. Amari Cooper is a really good wide receiver, so he probably will be, and they paid him a lot of money to do that. But I feel like just looking at CeeDee Lamb's highlights, you wonder if that really is the future of that franchise. But I think the future of this franchise is actually Ezekiel Elliott, and we talked about him. Tight ends. Blake Jarwin's an interesting name. If you want him, you can pretty much get him in any fantasy draft right there at the end. But Jason Witten is gone, and despite how old Jason Witten is, he had 83 targets that are just whoop gone, and they're not all going to go to those wide receivers. The Cowboys signed Blake Jarwin earlier this year to a 4-year, $22 million deal. So they obviously see something in him. Is he anything, or is he someone you want to dart throw later on?
I'm not feeling super confident in him, to be honest. Like you said, not all those passes are going to go to the other three, but I feel like most of them are. So I'm not.
So you're calling me a liar. That's what you're saying.
I'm calling you just right to your face. Yeah, you just lied to our listeners. He could prove me wrong very easily, but I'm not wasting a pick on him when I feel like there's better alternatives out there.
Yeah, like I say almost every week here, is I want a tight end that's getting like 8 targets a game, and I'm happy. Well, show me what you can do with those 8 targets. But last year, his max almost any week was 4 targets. Week 14 was the anomaly. He got 7. But he just didn't do enough for me to go for him this year. There's other people.
With Witten there, he did those things. I think this is more – maybe it's a good dynasty pick more so than redraft.
Not so much apples to apples. I'm still going to go with somebody who's had a year of like starter role under their belt.
All right, maybe a good streamer. But let's take a break before we finish out the NFC East. What do you boys say?
Y'all.
Yep.
Right. We'll be right back, chumps. We are back with the Chumps to Champs podcast. We're talking about the NFC East. These guys are getting on me right now. Okay, I want to know if everybody except for me eats pickles out of bags like you guys do, because I don't think I'm wrong.
I don't know if I have once ate a pickle out of a bag. I'm just a normal person and like pickles in general, Danny.
Yeah, I've never purchased a bagged pickle, but
oh my god!
Yeah, the spears out of a jar. Yeah, all day, baby.
You pull it out of a bag and it's full of the juice, and you just chomp that.
Then you lick your fingers afterwards, man.
Oh god!
Sometimes people. I'll pull a spear out of the jar, eat it, and then pull another one right behind it. Go for 2 in a row.
Double dipping them pickles, baby.
This is the worst day of my life. Oh, let's move on. Let's talk about the New York Giants. Something really, really positive, right? 3rd in the NFC East last year. They were 4-12. That ain't so good. Key additions I wrote down here in all caps. Deion Lewis going to take snaps away from Saquon Barkley. Did you guys know he was even there? No.
Nope.
quarterback is Daniel Jones. ADP is quarterback 14 off the board. Last year, as a rookie, he finished quarterback 24. 24 touchdowns, 3,000 yards. But there's a lot to be hopeful about with Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. He is their future. But for fantasy purposes in redraft leagues, are you guys eyeballing him late if you're waiting on a quarterback. Matt, I know you wait on quarterbacks a lot. So is he somebody that you're eyeballing?
He's just not a guy who's really on my radar right now. And I'm not sure why. I definitely bought into some of the Danny Dimes hype last year. But I think there's a lot of other guys that I'm just more excited about their situation right now. So not really looking at him.
Yeah, he's your future if your future is a brown bag of poop that you light on fire. There's nothing about him that I'm excited about. Sure, he's only played 1 year and he could, you know, make me eat my own words, but he only had three games last year. He had three phenomenal games. Like, you know, the boom or bust type scenario. He had three boom weeks where he had 28, 30, and 34 points.
Yeah, four plus touchdowns in all 3 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's three of 12. So 25%. I mean, your statistical odds of playing him on the right week. I mean, good luck with that. He's not consistent right now. His weapons at wide receiver aren't anything I'm pumped about. So I'm not about him this year.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I'll take the opposite approach here. I like the weapons he has. I think Ingram's going to get even better at tight end. I think Sterling Shepard is somebody to eye up, and even Slayton a little bit. Kind of watch where he goes this year. And yeah, he's settling in his second year, so I don't know. Maybe he should be on my radar, Scott.
Yeah, like there's if you take
so Matt likes bags of poop.
3 weeks of four plus touchdowns. Extrapolate that to a full season, you got record breaker Daniel Jones written all over him. But
needs to tell him to cut out those crap weeks, and he would be amazing.
You know what, though? The stat of the week that I'm going to bring to you guys is about Daniel Jones. Did you guys know he lost 11 fumbles last year? I thought he fumbled something around 20. You may need to fact check me on that, but he for sure lost 11 fumbles. And he was talking a couple weeks ago about just what he's working on. He's like, I'm working on ball security. And everyone's like, yeah, no kidding. Jesus, man, what are you doing? You're turning the ball over more than Eli. We never thought we'd miss him.
And they did make big improvements in their O-line this offseason. So I feel like that should help with the fumbles, right? If he's not getting pummeled all the time.
I guess.
See, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's got good weapons in the passing game. Not outstanding, but they could be. They've got potential. And they have an elite running back. So maybe this could be something. I will be looking at him later on in that Ben Roethlisberger kind of range. But he's got a really tough beginning of the season schedule. So maybe it's better to just kind of wait and kind of eyeball him on the waiver wire, because I'm sure somebody's going to drop him pretty quickly, and maybe then I can pick him up and then hope for the best.
Yeah, one thing I didn't realize until I looked it up, he actually had two more rushing yards than Prescott did last year. He had
sound
one
the
less
alarms
touchdown, so he's more mobile than I realized he was, but I guess I just wasn't paying attention to the Giants because it was the Giants last year, and they were not good.
Yeah, there are quarterbacks going well after him that just I think are more exciting coming in this year. Joe Burrow being one of them. Really excited to see what he can do there. They've added some pieces on the O-line, and I think Joe Mixon's ready to bounce that out the run game. Garoppolo, I talked earlier about how I just like that offense this year, and I think he can be a very consistent fantasy quarterback for you. And Philly Rivers, below both of those guys. Like,
oh, baby.
We already talked about him. I like that situation.
Deep Rivers.
So with the QB 15 price tag that Daniel Jones is asking right now, there's not enough making me jump for that.
Now, the one stat that I saw that I guess lends a little bit of leeway to Jones is last year, like we mentioned, between Slayton, Tate, Shepard, and Barkley, there wasn't a single game where all four of them were on the field. Always somebody was out, so his numbers wasn't full of – but it's football, so that might not change this year either, let's be honest.
Saquon Barkley is the running back, and he's pretty good. His average draft position is running back 2 off the board. Last year, he only played in 13 games and still had numbers that looked like they were 16 games. He started off all right, almost kind of a letdown because people were taking him really high in drafts. And then he got injured, and then he came back, and oh, baby, 24 rushes for 112 yards and two touchdowns in week 15, 22 for 189 and one in week 16, and now everybody remembers the talent that Saquon Barkley brings. So where does he rank at the tippy top of the draft? I know we talked a little bit about Ezekiel Elliott and Christian McCaffrey, but is Saquon Barkley up there? And would you make anyone feel weird about if they took him number one even?
You got get burned on Saquon last year.
I don't know. Like I mentioned, they did make O-line improvements. So I actually really like Barkley this year. And I already kind of mentioned how much I liked Elliott. So, I don't think there's anything you could really belittle someone about if they said, I want Barkley as the number one.
What a weirdo.
I don't think McCaffrey's going to replicate that season. So if you're basing off that and it's between Elliott and Barkley, I mean, I have no problem with any one of those three being your pick if you have the first pick.
I certainly don't like Saquon as much as McCaffrey and Elliott. I just think they got more going on, more certainty. Barkley still left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth after being out quite a bit right at the beginning of the year. I think he's super talented, and I wouldn't be afraid to use that third pick on him, but he won't go up above McCaffrey or Elliott for me.
Do you worry a little bit about a drop-off potentially in receptions if Daniel Jones does take the next step that we think and his receivers stay healthy? Daniel Jones can run the ball himself as well. Do you worry in PPR leagues that maybe those receptions are going to come down? Because Saquon Barkley, historically, in the past, I mean, we only have a couple of years to go on, but he catches a lot of passes. Do you worry that there's going to be a drop-off?
If no. There is, I don't think it's going to be a big one. I mean, the Giants are still the Giants, in my opinion, and they're going to have plenty of broken plays where he's going to have to dump it off. And who's there?
But Deion Lewis is going to be there.
Just right.
Taking all those catches in.
Hey, Deion, this play is going to get just shattered, so let's put you in here.
This one's for you, big boy.
And I think the safety valve for a lot of young quarterbacks, in my opinion, is usually the tight end. And I see their target share going down as a quarterback settles in more. But a running back, there's going to be a lot of design passes for them. And also, that's when you got a quarterback sitting in the pocket, going through his whole progression, and everybody's covered. That's when he dumps off to the running back. So a quarterback who has the poise to stay in the pocket and go through his progression and find the running back, that's a seasoned quarterback to me. So I think Barkley is going to be just fine on his receptions. And he's talented enough that you shouldn't be not trying to get him the ball in the air, too.
Wide receivers, there's a hodgepodge of people that were mostly all injured at one point, but it's Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, and Golden Tate. Those are the big three names. Their average draft positions are anywhere from 38 to 54, so they're all there in those double-digit rounds, kind of. Is there any one of these three that you guys are eyeballing more so than the others if they're all going to kind of go in that similar range?
I think Shepard's the top guy just because he had consistent targets each game last year. So I could see him being a good flex play, or if you're in a PPR league, he'd be the one to go. But this is identical to the other teams we talked about. It's just kind of in the middle for me. So Dallas, you got three receivers that I like all of them, and I could see any one of them doing really well. Philly, they're all old and beat up, so I don't really feel great about any of them. These guys are all in the middle. It's like I'm not super pumped about them, but I could see them doing well, so I don't know who to go with, just like the other teams. But it's not like I feel like they have the upside that Dallas does, but I think their floors are better than Philly.
Yeah, I like Sterling Shepard the most. I think he has the most talent. Slayton's getting a little overvalued right now. It looks like he's going before Sterling Shepard. And I don't really like Golden Tate. I haven't been a fan of him for a while now, although he does get a lot of the targets whenever he's on fire. But Sterling Shepard's the one guy I'm targeting. I think he's priced appropriately. I'm not going to reach for him at all.
Yeah, out of the three, I mean, Shepard 83 targets last year. Slayton, 83 targets last year. Tate, 85 targets last year. So they're, I mean, but they're all different games played. And if you look at their games played to red zone ratio, which I just came up with and hopefully will become a thing, Sterling Shepard is the only one. Sterling Shepard had 12 red zone targets, which are what I look at as tiebreakers. Is, are they trying to get them to the ball when it actually really, really matters? Those targets are way more valuable when they're in the red zone. Shepard had 12 red zone targets, and he only played 10 games, whereas Slayton had 9. He played almost the whole season, 14 games. Tate only had 6. So I'm with you guys that if I'm going to take one of them, it's going to be Sterling Shepard. I think he has the most upside, even though Slayton had all those touchdowns last year.
I was going to say, yeah, Slayton had, what, 8 touchdowns. So I think his numbers are a little inflated. I don't see him repeating that many touchdowns over the other guys. So I'm not as excited about him. I don't think his numbers are going to be quite what they were last year.
So Evan Engram is their tight end. ADP tight end 7. Last year and pretty much every other year that Evan Engram plays, yeah. He has been kind of hurt. The talent,
you son of a bitch.
The talent for this guy is elite. He has the talent to be an unbelievable tight end. He just keeps getting injured. The last 3 seasons, 8 games played last year, 11 before that, 15 before that, but still there's signs of that little bit of injury. Concussions, foot sprains, MCL sprains, hamstring pulls. Do you trust him, or is this going to be another Jordan Reed situation where when he plays, he's unbelievably talented and good for your team, but you just can't rely on him? Do you guys, are you in or out on Evan Engram?
I think you just spoke it beautifully, Danny. If you got this guy,
hell yes.
I'm thinking you need another tight end on your team just because he's great when he's in there, but God, I've had him and he's just been a heartbreak to where you're excited about him and then he doesn't play. I mean, like you said, he played 8 games last year and all games he had 6 plus targets. So when he's on the field, he's getting looks. He is going to get you points, especially if you're playing, you know, PPR leagues. He's going to get his receptions. But we've talked about there are other options out there receiver-wise, but how many games is he actually going to be on the field? It's just – it's a frustration with him, and I don't know. I'm not super pumped about him, but I don't know. We'll see. I think if the tier one tight ends are gone, he's a good option for you for a tight end.
Yeah, it looks like right now he's going in the late 5th round, and that's just too early for me to take him. I have him ranked a few spots lower in my rankings than the consensus right now. You guys said it. He's talented, but you haven't seen all of it with the troubles getting on the field. There's some other guys around him that, again, are just more exciting. So it's going to be tough for me to reach for him on draft night in the 5th round.
It's very rare for a tight end in their rookie season to actually mean something from a fantasy football perspective. And Evan Engram was that in his rookie season. He showed flashes of, oh my goodness, this is real. This is real. If there wasn't an injury problem for Evan Engram, I would have him as the 3rd tight end. I really would. I would have Kelsey there. I'd have Kittle there. And then there's Evan Engram. Maybe he would even be in the mix with those two because he's that good. But at a certain point, you just can't keep drafting Jordan Reed that high, right? Because that same thing would happen to him. Jordan Reed was unbelievably good, and then it was just like, but still, you can't roster him, so you have to wait until the day where he's active and then you run to the waiver wire and stream. I'm not saying that's what Evan Engram is. He's still draftable. He's not there yet. He can recover from all this stuff other than the concussions. What are you gonna do? But yeah, I really, really like him. And I'm not in the 5th round, like you were saying, Matt, like you're seeing him go. I can't believe that. That's
what, yeah. I was just about to say. If I'm taking a tight end in the 5th round, it's somebody I'm really excited about. I'd never go tight ends that early, and he is not somebody I would ever be that excited about.
That's like Mark Andrews territory.
Yeah, I typically want 3 running backs and 3 wide receivers on my team before I do anything else. And if I'm taking a tight end somewhere in there, they got to be someone I'm excited about. And I'm not excited about Evan Engram.
Right. Washington Redskins are last on our list and last in our hearts.
I was just about to say that.
Sorry, all you Redskins fans. I know we got plenty of them. They finished fourth in the NFC East, 3-13 on the season. Key additions to their team. They drafted Antonio Gibson, a running back, just to make a 1,000th running back on their roster. But also, we're going to talk about this in a second because I'm going to make us, but Kyle Allen is a quarterback that's on the roster. Let's start with those quarterbacks, though, for Washington. The incumbent is Dwayne Haskins, and I say that because I really do think that this is like an election. Is he going to finish the year? He's got the first shot at first snaps for Washington, and he was awful last year. And the conversation I want to have with you boys is not about fantasy, because Lord knows you're not drafting Dwayne Haskins, right? Please.
Yeah. No, I'm not drafting Dwayne.
Okay.
Haskins. Yeah, he had Don't one top 10 yeah. quarterback finish last year.
So. When we talk about quarterbacks in Washington, let's talk about is Kyle Allen. Ron Rivera signed Kyle Allen in the offseason. They've got that connection in Carolina where Kyle Allen was the starter when Cam Newton was gone. So there is a connection with the head coach. I feel like Ron Rivera wants Kyle Allen to be the starter. Do you think Kyle Allen's going to take over? And what week do you think that'll be? And why is it week 3?
I don't care about this situation enough, Danny.
I don't care. Just ask someone else. You know,
running backs. I'm going to move on. Running backs. That's something that we can talk about. And then we'll talk about the wide receivers, and then we'll just move on past the tight ends. Darius Geis, Adrian Peterson, Antonio Gibson, Peyton Barber. By the time I'm done with this, there'll be another one signed. Are any of these guys exciting for you? Darius Geis is going earliest, running back 30 off the board. Peterson's 50, Gibson's 56. What do you guys like, dislike about this group?
The only thing I like about Geis is if the other five get COVID, because other than that, I'm not drafting any of these guys.
Scott said it really well. If you look at their
brought up COVID, it was just perfect.
I shouldn't say he said it politically correct, but looking at their snap shares, when both Peterson and Geis were available, they both like lingered in the 30s or 40s, low 40s. So it's definitely a timeshare if they're both healthy. Weeks that Geis was out, all of a sudden Peterson's timeshare went up a lot. So I think there's going to be a committee approach here, unless you're banking on an injury. I know Peterson's old. I know Geis has had injuries, but it's not really a situation you want to touch.
Yeah, Darius Geis, my goodness. He tore his ACL a couple years ago. I was out the whole year. Came back last year, showed real flashes of brilliance last year. He only played 5 games before getting hurt again. But in those 5 games, he averaged 5.8 yards per carry, which is awesome. So he showed that he could do it. Then he got hurt again. So is Darius Geis going to play the full season? And probably not. I mean, that's just what you're doing when you draft him. But if he's healthy, he's going to be the starter eventually. Maybe not the beginning because you have Adrian Peterson, you have all these guys. So I feel like Geis, I don't feel like Peterson is draftable in redraft leagues or otherwise. I mean, you just have to roll the dice when you draft dice. Oh, that was going to sound so dumb.
Oh, man. But yeah, I think Geis has some upside, and he's ADP like 82 right now. So that what lands him in the 6th round. I think there's just cause to pull that trigger just based on his talent alone. I wouldn't expect a lot out of it, though. I wouldn't draft him as your RB2 there if you've gone receiver and tight end heavy earlier.
Yeah, I don't know. The only plausible thing I could even fathom here is, I mean, they spend a 3rd-round pick on Gibson, and if you literally want to just throw a Hail Mary with him that he just blows every opportunity he gets out of the water and just kills it, maybe he'd be the guy. But that would be pretty much a stretch, to say the least.
Yeah, snatch him up in free agency after draft night. Yeah. Don't worry about him on draft night.
he may get eligibility as a wide receiver too, Antonio Gibson. So he has the stature of being, he may do things that are running back and wide receiver, both of them, which would be kind of cool. But Ron Rivera compared Antonio Gibson to Christian McCaffrey.
I saw that, yeah.
So Antonio Gibson equals Christian McCaffrey, who's going number one. So are you going to take Christian McCaffrey number one, or are you going to take Antonio Gibson number one?
Well, when you put it that way, Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's just too easy. Wide receiver, we're going to talk one name. Terry McLaurin. Average draft position is wide receiver 26. Last year, he had a breakout. Well, he was a rookie, but 58 catches, almost 1,000 yards, 919 yards, 7 touchdowns. And I think the sky's the limit for Terry McLaurin, or quarterback play is the limit for Terry McLaurin. You can put it either way. Like, if you took him and plopped him on any other team, I think he'd be gold. But I think his quarterback play caps him. Do you disagree or agree?
I don't know. It definitely caps him.
Well, that's good. That's good podcast material. I don't know.
There's nothing.
Hot take from Scott.
It's Washington. There is nothing I can say that would get me excited about there. I mean, he's going to get targets because he's the guy out there. Is that going to translate to fantasy? Eh. But I think the one thing that's going to save him is Washington's going to be behind all the time.
You're right. You're right about that.
He's going to be getting garbage time receptions. And I think that's going to, you're going to, if you're an owner, you're going to be frustrated because you're going to get through 3.5 quarters where he's got 4 points. And then he's going to end the game with 12 because he got a BS touchdown in the last minute and a half where the defense didn't care. And he's just going to run up those numbers.
Yeah, Steven Sims is another guy on that list, honestly, for maybe dynasty purposes. And if you if you want to take the number two wide receiver on the Washington Redskins, that's really throwing a dart. But he showed flashes, and the team apparently really, really likes him. But,
Yeah, Danny, I'm just going to step back to Terry McLaurin because you skipped over me, but yeah, I do like him.
I derailed that, yeah, quite a bit.
I like him this year, kind of like Scott said, or I guess maybe you said it, Danny, but what about his quarterback play? But he did it last year without a decent team or quarterback in the wings for him. So I think his talent is obvious, and he's still going to get the ball in his direction. He's going to make plays, and he's going – pretty low. I think maybe fifth round is a wide receiver one. I think he's a great addition to your roster, especially if you're in a three wide receiver fantasy format.
Yeah, I really believe in the talent of Terry McLaurin. I really do. And if it comes to the fifth round and he's there, it's going to be hard-pressed for me to find someone else I like more from the wide receiver role.
And you never know with Haskins, he might sprinkle the passes around a little more. That's your segue, Dan.
Oh, my goodness. You did that. Sprinkle in Jeremy Sprinkle. There it is, guys, is the tight end.
It's the only time we're going to mention his name this year.
Yeah. You guys going to take him before you take Kelsey? No, we had to talk about it just for the sake of being a tight end from Washington, but that's absolutely nothing. Matt, are you okay if we move just right along?
Yeah.
Yes, 2.7 points per game. The funny thing is I tried to look up some stuff on him. And between two websites, there were no notes about him. They just didn't even put a comment. They just like, nah, no one's going to read this anyway.
So let's talk standings, okay? We got done with the NFC East breakdown from fantasy purposes, but let's talk about from NFL purposes who we've got. So who do you guys have winning the NFC East and with what record? We will start with Matt.
Yeah, Danny, I got Dallas finishing first.
There you go. Me too. Yep.
We talked about it earlier. They got a great O-line. They got a lot of weapons. Their passing game, their running game, everything should be on fire. I think they're going to be an exciting team to watch this year.
Yep, samesies.
What are your records, though?
I am 11-5.
Oh, me too.
Oh, my God, me too. 11-5. I wanted to go 12-4. I wanted to go 12-4, but I'm like, no.
I think they have a lot. Like I said, weapons-wise, they're stacked. So fantasy value, it might not be a gold mine, but in terms of the division, I think they're going to win it. And It's funny though, because when I broke down their schedule, I have them going into the bye week on week 10 with a 5-4 record. So it's going to be the typical, are the Dallas a good team or are they just going to flop? And it's just the same crap you hear every year about Dallas. Yeah. But I have them going 6-1 after the bye.
Who do you have finishing second, Scott?
Second, I have Philly. But I feel like they have the hardest schedule in this division.
Me too.
Looking at it, I was like, I'm like, they're a good team. Everything looks good. But I'm like, I have them going 9-7. I couldn't give them any more wins because I was like, this is a rough schedule for them.
Yeah. I got Philly going 9-7. Matt, who do you got?
I actually got Giants finishing second at 9-7. And I think it was schedule based. They finished one ahead of Philly at 8-8. And I think it was a schedule that really knocked down Philly, or maybe I just really like Saquon on the Giants this year.
But, and Daniel Jones, you love him.
Yeah, yeah. Danny Dimes. But Danny yeah, Dimes. I had Giants just barely edging out Philly.
So Philly at 8-8, is that what you said for your third place?
Yes, sir.
And Scott, who's your third place?
I have the Giants in third. I had them between 6-10 and 7-9, but ultimately I went 6-10.
Oh my God, I've got the Giants at 6-10. Are we gonna go 4-4 on samesies? Okay, we're gonna start with Scott. Washington Redskins record is going to be
3-13.
3-13. Me too. Yes.
I wanted to give them a fourth win so bad, and they have the easiest schedule in the division. Oh, I'm like,
they do play. They play the Ravens twice. I wouldn't say their schedule's super easy.
No, but some of the lower tier teams, it's just like when you look at the other three, you're like, oh, they could win this. But when I'm looking at Washington, I'm like, no, they're not going to.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah, I actually did give them that fourth win. Okay. It was one of those kind of thing. I looked at like three of the close losses I gave them. I was like, you know what? They're going to get one of those. And I gave them the four.
Oh, perfect. Oh, that makes my day. Okay. Well, let's roll right into Chump or Champ. Four different players from four different teams at four different positions. We're going to decide quickly whether or not they're going to be a chump for your fantasy league or a champ. We'll start with quarterback Carson Wentz. What do you got, Scott? Chump or champ?
I got him as a champ, and that's just because, like I said earlier, I think his floor is pretty good. So week to week, he's consistent. He might not throw up those flashy numbers, but he's going to be somebody that I think you can rely on for the most part.
Well, I hope he doesn't throw up. Matt, what do you have, chump or champ, for Carson Wentz?
I went back and forth on this one because I kind of like him this year, but I went chump based on where he's getting drafted. Right now, for me, he's ranked right between Breeze and Matt Ryan, and I kind of like both those guys more than him. Wentz has like some shifting parts on their O-line. I think it's still going to be a really good O-line, but with two new tackles coming, it looks like, we'll see what happens there. So I give him the chump ranking just because I like other people in that spot better.
I'll tie break this with a champ just because he had nothing last year and he still finished really well. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll go to Darius Geis as our running back from the Redskins. Chump or champ? Matt, what do you got? We'll start with you today.
Chump?
Oh, baby.
Basically a chump because I said it earlier. When him and Peterson were healthy, it was a pretty obvious timeshare. They're adding other pieces into the fold. He has injury issues. Yeah, he has high upside if you draft him late, but I'm probably staying away.
Yeah, I got him as a chump. I mean, of the 19 running backs on that roster, I just don't know how many carries he's going to get on a regular basis. So I'm not real excited about it.
Yeah, and I've got him as a chump. Oh, baby. He's going to play all 16 games. That was one of the bold. I can't give away all of what I said in the bold predictions, but if he plays all 16 games, he is a really, really, really good running back. So I'm going to say, yes, Darius Geis is going to be great. Let's go to wide receiver, and it's Michael Gallup, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. Chump or champ, Matt?
I got him as a champ. I said it earlier, he's my favorite wide receiver out of this bunch. I think he has the best shot for a really great year this year. Dak's going to be slinging. He got over 110 targets last year. So did Amari Cooper, but I think Gallup has the best chance at really excelling this year. I'm going to go champ.
I went chump on this one. I had him in multiple leagues last year, and I really liked him. And honestly, if they didn't draft CeeDee Lamb, I would put him as a huge champ. But I, like I was saying earlier, I think Lamb is going to be getting a lot of snaps right away, and he's just going to cut the ceiling down from Gallup pretty much right away.
I think I've got him listed as a chump as well, and it's not because I don't like Michael Gallup. I really do like Michael Gallup, but you touched on it, Scott, that there's a lot of mouths to feed, and I think that all of them, Amari Cooper's great, Michael Gallup's great, CeeDee Lamb's great, even Blake Jarwin's great. Like, these are all really good options, and I think that brings everyone's bar down. So I'm going to say chump from the perspective of where you're going to have to draft him and what he's going to return. Not a bad thing about Gallup's talent, because I think he's great. But
Dak attempted, what, around 600 passes last year, and you don't think that Gallup can still get over 100 targets? I think you guys should be surprised. There's a lot of mouths to feed, but a lot of air to work with down
here. I think with all that receiving, there's going to be a little less stack in the box, and they're going to run a little more, so there's going to be less passing attempts.
You're not going to stack the box against Elliott?
I don't think you can with those three out there.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun offense.
Are the Cowboys going to win the Super Bowl? Maybe. I hope, Matt, like you were saying, I hope that I'm wrong about this because I really like Michael Gallup. I really do. I hope that I'm wrong about making him a chump. Yeah, we're moving on. Evan Ingram, chump or champ? Scott.
I got him as a champ. We touched on earlier. If the dude's healthy, he could be a stud, and you can get him late in terms of tight ends. It's just, is he going to be healthy?
Matt, what do you think?
I got the same argument, but I was calling it a chump because of it. Yeah, he has talent, but I'm not calling any of my champs a guy that I have that much of a question about. He's gone down my rankings. I like other people there more. Say it all the time with the chumps. So, nah.
I was hoping you'd use the glass
half full.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd use the exact words, like, I think he's a chump, and then say the exact same thing word for word as Scott said. Everyone would be super confused. I've got him as a champ because I believe in the talent, but that's probably the most likely one I'm going to be wrong on just because of injury history. But that's chump or champ.
I got a good would you rather. The three tight ends I have ranked right in a row is Ingram, Gronkowski, and Hooper. Both are all guys with different kinds of risk, different kinds of upside, but they're all kind of going around the same spot. Which one would you want to draft this year?
Evan Ingram. Scott, what do you think?
I would go Gronk.
I think I'd go Gronk too. And I don't know if I've ever rostered Gronk because his price tag just has been so high.
I've never had him, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if I had to rank those three, I think it'd go Ingram, Gronk, Hooper, because I'm getting more and more down on Hooper as the days go by. Not being a Falcon, I think it's going to bother me more so than I thought it would earlier.
Yeah, and with Njoku there in Cleveland too, I don't know what that kind of target share snap count situation is going to be.
And Beckham and Landry and Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb still, like,
and Baker Mayfield.
Oh, Bakey Makes. Gotta believe in that guy. But let's get to stat prediction time. Let's talk the one big stats that we're going to decide on right now. So here it goes. How many passing yards for Dak Prescott this year? How many passing yards for Dak Prescott this year? And just for reference, last year he threw for 4,902. Goodness gracious. So we'll start with Scott. Scott, what do you have for the amount of passing yards for Dak Prescott?
Well, my original thought was, okay, I don't think he's going to do quite that. And I was looking at like 4,700. I'm like, he's got three great weapons, like we've talked about, wide receiver wise. But the point I just made a minute ago was with those three out there, I feel like they've got a better opportunity to run. So I dropped it down a lot more than that. So the number I ended on was 4,400. He's never eclipsed 4,000 until last year. So I think he's still going to do great, but I don't think it's going to be 4,900. So I went 4,400.
Matt, how many passing yards for Dak Prescott this year?
Just because I like this offense so much, which I've been just gushing over all episode. I wanted to give him more than last year. I had 5,000 penciled in there for a minute, but I dialed it back a bit. I went with just the easy 300 yards per game, 16 games, 4,800 total for the year.
That's good. Yeah, that's very, very, very close to what I had. I mean, it may not look like it from the total. I've got 4,560. That's 285 per game for a 16-game season. So we're all on the same page. Like, last year, 4,900 was the most by far that Dak Prescott has ever done. But I brought him down a little bit from last year, but I didn't have a reason to. Do you know what I mean? Like, things got better. Things got better, it seems, and his talent is going to get better as he gets another year old. Like, but still, 4,900 was quite a bit. Maybe they won't need to. I'm with you guys on Ezekiel Elliott just being incredible. 4,500 is still good though. But that wraps up the NFC East, boys. That's gonna be a good division. That's going to be something to watch. I think it's not just going – I mean, maybe it will just be the Cowboys and Eagles like it has been. I mean, we're not giving Washington much of a shot, but
– yeah, I can see Giants being respectable. We'll see where Danny Dimes goes, and it'll be interesting.
So thanks, everyone, for coming through, sticking with us till the end. Like I spoke about at the beginning of the episode, you can find our rankings and articles and everything. Our podcasts are at chumpsofchampspodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, Twitter. You can find us everywhere these days. Next week, we've got the AFC West on the docket as we continue our divisional breakdowns. The Chiefs, Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers is what we'll be discussing. The Super Bowl champ Chiefs. So that should be exciting. Thank you, everyone, again, for sticking around this entire time. And we will see you next week, champs.